Green, One Heart Equestrian Therapy. Emily.
Okay, so this is a request by One Heart Equestrian Therapy. They're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. The executive director, Chris Lager, is here today, and I will let her speak. I will give a brief overview of the nonprofit organization, but then I will let her speak to specifics if you have questions on it. The property in question today is at 2710 West 190th Street in Ames, and it's located in Section 21 of Franklin Township. The current property owners are Jolene Muse and Terry Hurt. So the nature of the request, this is for a new conditional use permit. The current request includes the use of the existing equestrian facility at 2710 West 190th Street as a permanent location for One Heart Equestrian Therapy's human services use. The mission of One Heart is to make available equine-oriented and other domestic animal-oriented activities in a compassionate, safe, and professional manner to achieve therapeutic and educational goals and enhance the quality of life for people with physical, mental, and psychological impairments. So a little background on One Heart. It was founded in 2001 and since then has served over 180 individuals with over 90 diagnoses. Over the past 17 years, One Heart has operated in Story County through leases of public and private stables. Clients and volunteers who come to One Heart from 9 counties in Iowa. So it is a draw, and they would like to remain in Story County, but would like a home for their operation. One Heart is a voluntary member of the Member Center of the Professional Association of Therapeutic Horsemanship International, which is referred to as PATH, and that's the organization that sets the standards for equine-assisted activities and therapies. So the property location, we are in Franklin Township along 190th Street here. This property is located immediately adjacent to the city of Ames on two sides, on the eastern side and the south. The Ames Urban Fringe Plan MAP designation is rural transitional residential. So this rural transitional residential designation is really a designation that is designed to transition from rural residential and agricultural uses, so that a transition kind of area. And of course, if necessary, buffers would separate residences from particularly noxious agricultural activities. So the property is located here on 190th Street. This is George Washington Carver and Hyde Avenue here. The property is zoned A1. There is some R2 zoning to the west, which is the irons. The property itself is 9.9 net acres. And there are about 5 dwellings, 3 here and 2 here, existing within a quarter mile of the property. So just a little bit on the history of this property. All of the structures on the site were constructed in 2003 and permitted through agricultural exemptions for an equestrian use. The dwelling itself was constructed, again, through an agricultural exemption as a two-family dwelling. However, at that time, a portion of the common wall has been removed, and then one of the kitchens has also been removed, which changes the status to a single-family dwelling, which is permitted in the A1 Agricultural District. With the change in the use of the property, the applicant will be required to submit applications and fees for zoning permits for all of the structures after the purchase of the property and prior to occupancy. This has been discussed with the applicant. So their proposed use of the site Currently, One Heart runs 3 6-week sessions, providing weekday evenings and on Saturdays. They do plan to continue this schedule into the future on this site. In addition, because with a permanent facility, they do hope to expand their services to a greater number of clients, including veterans and active service members. As there is a need to keep clients and horses safe, the general public will not be invited to the site. A certified PATH instructor is required on site during all sessions. When the site is not being used, it will be locked. The applicant is also hoping to install remote security cameras as an additional precaution. One Heart will not be boarding the general public's horses at this site. This location provides opportunities for the organization to work with Central Iowa universities, colleges, and school districts, as well as service groups from churches, scout groups, and churches. One Heart does participate in United Way Day of Caring annually. The number of volunteers during an event such as that could be anywhere from 5 to 30. One Heart does anticipate between 5 and 10 days of service or outreach each year. So this is an aerial image of the property. 190th Street is here. There is parking on the very northern area. There's stables for up to 34 horses on the north end. There's a large indoor arena to the south. The hay storage is on the west side there. The dwelling is located to the northeast. This area to the south is all pasture. There is an outdoor arena located here. We did ask about overflow parking, and the applicant indicated that this area would be good for overflow parking in the event that there is more traffic than it could be accommodated in the parking area. I would like to point out there is an overhead door on the west side of the stable here, which the applicant would like to designate as ADA compliant parking space. That would allow actually the vehicles to drive all the way into the building to unload, which is convenient. So that the two designated ADA spaces would be on that western side. The applicant did provide a layout of the parking area. Upon entering the site, traffic would travel along the western edge here, either south to the parking or then east to the drop-off area in front of the structure. There's more spaces here, but then would follow up east, go north along the eastern edge of the parking area, and then back west and out. So this is a layout of the stable area. The overhead door, I believe, is right here. There's also a man door located here. Upon entering, this is a support area where equipment can be put on. Clients' stalls are all here and along the other edge. This area of the stable has two levels. On the first level, there's a viewing room, which looks out into the indoor arena. And then on the top floor, there's another viewing area, but then an area for an office and storage. Some site photos. We're looking west here along West 190th Street. And then looking north across West 190th Street. Looking east. This is looking east of the parking area and the adjacent property to the east. The property to the north, east, and south is all currently in egg production. Again, to the east and the south, the property is within the city of Ames corporate limits. There is residential development planned for that area. This is looking southeast from the driveway. This is looking south at the west access. Again, here's the overhead door, which would be considered one of the ADA compliant spaces, and then another one next to that entrance. This is looking southwest toward the indoor arena and the hay storage. This would be the drop-off area for clients. This is looking southeast toward the on-site dwelling. The applicant proposes to use this dwelling for the house caretakers for the horses. The preference would be to have individuals caring for the horses, right, living right on-site. Another image of the dwelling. This is the north end of the stable, again, the access to the property. There is a communications tower directly to the west, and this is an image, hard to see, but this is the outdoor arena area in the northwestern corner of the property. Then this is looking southwest at the subject property from West 190th Street. The area then to the south here is the pasture area. And this is looking southeast from the adjacent property toward the pasture area again. There is a portable kind of lean-to structure for shelter for the horses that is in that area. So in terms of standards of approval, compatibility, the subject property is zoned A1 agricultural and is adjacent to the city of Ames on two sides. The land inside the city of Ames is in row crop production, but is planned for future residential development. The properties immediately to the north and west are also zoned A1 agricultural. There are several single-family dwellings in near proximity to the site. Policy 2 of the Rural Transitional Residential Area states strategically locate rural transitional residential land uses in areas where they can provide for an orderly and efficient future transition between land uses within the likely future extent of municipal limits and the unincorporated area. This is an existing equestrian facility, and we feel that this could act as a transitional use. Adjacent development is anticipated, but again, this use was established in 2003, and is not anticipated to have an impact on future development in the area. The stable and arena are centrally located on the subject property. There is fencing surrounding the perimeter of the property that would prevent the horses from leaving the site. The closest single-family dwelling is approximately 900 feet from the subject property. The traffic count along West 190th Street is about 1,100 vehicles for the average annual daily traffic. Based on the applicant's estimated vehicle trips per day, she's estimating about 100 vehicle trips on weeknights and between 200 and 250 vehicle trips on Saturdays. This would be an increase of approximately 20%. Of traffic along 190th on Saturdays. Traffic to the site would enter off of West 190th Street, head south to the parking area or the drop-off area, and then travel east and back north back to the driveway entrance. In terms of parking loading, parking will take place primarily in the existing gravel parking area. The applicant estimates that there are approximately 16 standard parking spaces and 9 ADA compliant spaces. Those are the numbers that can fit within that gravel area. They have designated an area for overflow parking if needed. ADA compliant parking and signage will be required on site. There's no additional lighting proposed at this time. They may look to add a small sign with their logo on the property, but we're just indicating here that all lighting and signage are required to meet Story County Land Development Regulations. In terms of environmental protection, one of the biggest things is for horses is manure management. The applicant has indicated that manure management practices will be dictated by the weather and site conditions. However, Environmental Health Department has provided the following statement in response to the information provided on manure management. The Iowa DNR does not require a manure management plan for a horse facility of less than 500 animal units, which is 250 horses. So there's no home rule, which is the county in this case, for agricultural matters such as requiring a manure management plan, and therefore the county cannot place additional requirements on manure management. The applicant has demonstrated an awareness of best management practices. If the county receives complaints from neighbors, the Environmental Health Department will follow the nuisance complaint protocol to come to a resolution that is fair and accommodating to all parties. Again, the applicant has provided us with several techniques which are used to take care of the waste and keep flies away. And I believe Chris can speak more to that if you have questions on it. Most manure is deposited near areas where animals eat and rest. And so that in those areas, the manure will be collected via machinery and provided to local farmers and gardeners. And then the manure that's randomly dropped in the pasture would be broken up and distributed onto the site. In terms of the analysis, if the commission concludes that all the above criteria will be met, it must recommend approval of the application unless it concludes that, if completed as proposed, there is a strong probability that the development will not adequately safeguard the health, safety, and general welfare of persons residing or working in adjoining or surrounding property. With the facility already established, it's not anticipated that the proposed use will have a significant impact on the surrounding area. One Heart has no plans at this time to modify the existing structures. The applicant has demonstrated a desire to be a good neighbor to existing and future property owners. Number two, impair an adequate supply, including quality of light and air to the surrounding properties. The applicant has communicated a plan to address the management of manure. The number of horses proposed for this site is well under the minimum required to be regulated by the state. There is a possibility that the horse manure may impact nearby property owners, but again, the applicant has provided many manure management techniques. Three is to unduly increase congestion in the roads or hazard from fire, flood, or similar dangers. It is not anticipated that the proposed use will have major impact on congestion, hazard from fire, or other similar dangers. There would be a slight increase in traffic on Saturdays that's anticipated. Number four, diminish or impair established property values on adjoining or surrounding property. The assessor's office didn't raise any concerns about the proposed use on the property. Again, the previous use of the property is very closely related to what the applicant is proposing to do on the site. Number five, not be in accord with the intent, purpose, and spirit of the land development regulations or the county cornerstone to capstone plan. We feel that this is a good transitional use from rural residential uses to the agriculture. And so we believe that it fits within the rural transitional residential designation. The burden of persuasion is at all times on the applicant, and presenting evidence to the Planning and Zoning Commission sufficient enough for it to conclude that the application does not comply with the requirements of this chapter is upon the person or persons recommending such a conclusion, unless the information presented by the applicant warrants such a conclusion. Looking at interagency review comments, Environmental Health indicated there are no known wells on the site. There is a septic system on the site, and the horses should be kept off of that as to not damage it. And then also, just a point of being mindful of carbon monoxide levels when vehicles do pull into the structure itself. The assessor said that the parcel is currently classified agricultural and is taxable. The organization will need to apply for an exempt status after they take ownership of the property. And I think that the property in question would be tax exempt based on the information provided. Public notification letters were mailed on March 27th. We did receive a request for information from a nearby property owner. And then this property owner and another did provide email in support of the proposed use on the site. The city, we provided information to the City of Ames and the City of Gilbert on January 9th. The City of Ames Planning and Housing staff indicated they would not be seeking an annexation agreement for this property. So just some points to consider here. This request supports a valuable service to people with physical, mental, and psychological impairments. The proposed use is consistent with the rural transitional residential designation. And closely relates to the previously established use of the property. Human services and facilities may be permitted through an approved conditional use permit in the A1 district. The existing structures on site will be consistent with their intended purpose, and no improvements to the site are planned at this time. The two-family dwelling on site was permitted through an agriculture exemption. Again, since that time, it's been converted back to a single-family dwelling, which is permitted in the A1 district. An application and fee for a zoning permit for all of the existing structures will be required following purchase and prior to occupancy of the site. All of the events will be limited to those directly related to the mission and affiliations of One Heart Equestrian Therapy. So this planning and development staff's recommendation that the Planning and Zoning Commission recommend approval of the conditional use permit for One Heart Equestrian Therapy. With the following conditions, all proposed on-site events shall be directly related to the mission of One Heart Equestrian Therapy. And then the second is an application for zoning permits for all structures on-site shall be submitted following the purchase of the property but prior to occupancy. So here are your alternatives. Planning and development staff are recommending alternative 2. Any questions for me?
Jerry, you're talking about horses. Do you have any questions?
No, I think I would comment that I'm familiar with this program as a horse owner, and it's a great program. Can't believe the good that it does.
Yeah, my youngest son actually volunteered with One Heart when they were at Stagecoach Schools a few years ago.
I would add that I'm not familiar with the program, but I'm familiar with the building. And my husband and I drove home a couple nights ago and looked at it and said, that is such a wonderful building. It's too bad somebody can't use it, but I guess that kind of a limited use. So when I opened up the packet today, I thought, oh, my gosh. Yeah, so I'm pretty interested, yeah.
I just about owned that building.
Really?
Yeah, I was at the auction. I jumped off at $350,000. And it didn't sell because it didn't meet minimum. It's a nice facility. Very nicely done.
Since we all have comments and no questions, we'll go ahead and ask the applicant if they would like to address the commission. Please step up to the podium and give us your name and address.
Hi, I'm Chris Lager, and I'm the co-founder and director of One Heart Equestrian Therapy. I live at 67826 Lincoln Highway in Colo, Iowa. I have very, very cute kids on beautiful horses, if you want to see what we actually do. But I am glad to hear the familiarity with the program that has been expressed so far, because we are all volunteer-driven. So we do have a bigger impact on the community than just the number of families that you saw recorded served. We do view this potential purchase as good stewardship of this property based on its design and, moreover, its proximity to our volunteer base. The other very specific interest that we have that came up in Emily's comments were our intent to expand services to active and veteran military personnel. This is a very hot topic, if you will, in equine-assisted therapies and activities. We've hesitated beginning this. One, we needed more training, which we have achieved. But second of all, in the shared facilities where we've been hosted throughout the county, we started at the Story County Fairgrounds in Nevada, and we did work out of Stagecoach for about 4 years, and we went on to a family-owned property in Roland, and have been in assorted other places. Each of those places did not afford us the privacy that we need to go into the more advanced mental health services that we are credentialed to offer. So our strategic plan has indicated for 18 years that we would need a permanent home at some point in our existence to provide the full comprehensive packages of services that we are credentialed through PATH International to provide. Are there any questions?
You said the credentials provide mental health services?
Yes, I am credentialed by PATH International as an equine specialist in mental health and learning, which puts me on a team with a mental health professional, their client, a shared client of ours, me and the horse. And so when we design the treatment with the horse as part of that team, then I am the horse's representative in the sense that I'm that, my expertise lies in that field. And so we can't jeopardize the horse's well-being through this management plan or treatment program. So that's how that works. I've taken additional training in courses through PATH Equine Services for Heroes so that we will be prepared to present a curriculum to veteran and active military personnel. Our other credentialing is as therapeutic riding instructors, and we offer different mounted activities at four levels. We offer therapeutic driving. We are one of 60 centers internationally that's authorized to do so. There are 89 PATH-certified therapeutic driving. That's not in the world. I'm the 90th. So in Story County, we are able to bring those comprehensive services to. And as Emily pointed out, we have clients from 9 counties.
Any other questions?
Thank you very much.
Anyone here who would like to speak on this application? If not, we'll move on to commission discussion and or a motion.
If we're ready for motion. Okay. I would move alternative two, that we recommend approval of conditional use permit for one heart question therapy as put forth in case CAP 03-18 with conditions.
I'll second that.
Good motion by Murphy, second by Sherwood. Is there any discussion on the motion? Can you roll call vote, please?
Merkin.
Yes.
McBride.
Yes.
Mins.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Sherwood.
Yes.
Steele.
Yes.
Cable.
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Thanks for coming tonight. And our next topic is rezoning 01-18, Aya Ranch LLC.
Okay. So this is a rezoning from the A1 Agricultural District to the A2 Agribusiness District. The property owner is Aya Ranch, and the applicant is Elliot Thompson. He's the owner of Alluvial Brewing Company, and the intent of the rezoning is to accommodate distribution off-site of the beer produced at Alluvial Brewing Company. The A2 District permits storage, retail, and wholesale marketing and processing of agricultural products into value-added agricultural products, and that's where the distribution would fall. So this is a 40-acre property that they're applying to rezone. In 2004, Prairie Moon Winery and Vineyard were established on the property to the west through a conditional use permit for what we now call agritourism. The property on which Prairie Moon Winery is located is already zoned A2 agribusiness. The property was actually rezoned in 1992 when it was used for a seed research and sales business, which I believe was a popcorn farm and research facility. And that rezoning was approved with conditions for additional screening and landscaping, given that there is a residential area to the south of Prairie Moon Winery. The applicant began managing agricultural production on the site in 2009, including a small fruit and vegetable farm on 5 acres and a rotation of soybeans, alfalfa, and corn. In 2013, they started the farm store for the produce grown at the organic farm. And then in 2014, a modification to the conditional use permit for the farm store was approved to locate the brewery in the barn. Because of the brewery's success, the applicant has invested in conserving the agricultural land on the site. In addition to the 5-acre farm that is now rented out to a tenant, they have converted 16 acres to prairie through the CRP program. There are 7 acres that have been restored to wetland, and they've also restored additional acres to prairie on their own, not through the CRP program. There is, again, that barn that is the current location of Alluvial Brewing Company's tap room. There's an accessory structure to the north where they're working on expanding brewing equipment to that location as well. And the expansion of the brewing equipment to the northern accessory structure was recently approved through a conditional use permit for agritourism by the Board of Adjustment. Part of that expansion and conditional use permit is that there are additional investments in agriculture being made on the site. There's a new area to be planted with hops. There's a new high tunnel to be constructed for berries. And both of those will be used in the beers produced on site. A few notes on access. This property is located on West 190th, which we'll see in the site photos in just a minute. That is a paved county road. Traffic counts have been increasing in the area. It's about 580 cars in 2015. And there are some site distance issues associated with the access that were conditioned to address as part of the conditional use permit. And those include having the east entrance to Alluvial be used only for entering traffic instead of entering and exiting traffic. Here is a site plan that was submitted as part of the conditional use permit. I thought it might be helpful. So this is the 40-acre property that is being proposed to be rezoned. This is the winery to the west. This property is zoned A2 agribusiness, and there is a shared parking area in between the two. Here is the tap room. Up here is the accessory structure in which the new brewing equipment will be located. The high tunnel for the berries will also be in this area. Here is the 5-acre organic farm. There's a patio, and then this is the area, general area, in which the hops will be grown as well. The rest of this site is in prairie and wetland. So the proposal that you're considering tonight is, again, a rezoning to the A2 agribusiness district to permit distribution. During the process in which we were reviewing the conditional use permit for the expansion, the applicant informed staff that they were currently distributing beer off-site. Staff concluded that distribution could not be permitted through that conditional use permit process because agritourism is, by definition, only for on-site activities. Further, the A1 agricultural district does not permit off-site distribution of products that have been processed. Principal permitted uses include agricultural crop and livestock production, dwelling, but not processing and distribution of products. And so the conditional use permit was approved with the condition that if distribution was planned to continue, the applicant submits a text amendment to allow distribution as part of the conditional use permit for agritourism. However, when county departments met with the applicant for conceptual review of the text amendment, we determined that a rezoning would be more appropriate rather than amending the agritourism ordinance that was recently passed. And so, here's why. So the last use, these are the permitted uses in the agribusiness district, includes storage, retail, wholesale marketing and processing of agricultural products into value-added agricultural products. And so really, it's the wholesale marketing that distribution relates to. The A2 Agribusiness District also permits agricultural crop and livestock production, which is really important because that's something the applicant wants to continue to do as well. Also, the Agribusiness District is meets the principles of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, which we'll discuss in a minute as well. So more on the current distribution. The applicant currently distributes to 4 or 5 accounts in Ames and Des Moines. They distribute the beer themselves in a cargo van that's parked on the site. Deliveries to Des Moines occur every other week. I know we talked about the expansion that recently occurred, so the amount of beer produced may increase, but the applicant's goal is really to maintain this pretty limited distribution with the goal of reaching out to a new market in Des Moines and hopefully bringing more folks to the tap room to experience the tap room and the farm. This is the Ames Urban Fringe land use map, so here's the subject property. You can see it's agriculture and farm service, and there is some residential future land use designations to the south. The Ames Urban Fringe Plan in the Agriculture and Farm Service designation recognizes that industrial and commercial land uses are dependent on proximity to local agricultural land uses, and that those are essential to the continued feasibility of farming in Story and Boone counties. It also notes that clustering of agricultural-related development at a limited scale where properties have adequate access to a public road is permitted. There is also a note in the Ames Urban Fringe Plan Joint and Cooperative Agreement that references rezoning to the A2 Agribusiness District that occur outside of industrial designations. And because of the agribusiness district's permitted uses, including wholesaling, and the potential for growth in intensity of those uses, especially with recent growth in agribusiness and agri-technology industries, that we should address those through conditional rezoning agreements, which is being proposed. And the county agreed to, as part of that agreement, to use conditional rezoning agreements when applying the A2 districts outside of industrial areas. This is a zoning map, so you can see the subject property is currently A1. It's showing up as yellow here, but this is the Prairie Moon Winery. It's zoned A2 agribusiness. It's really green. But the other areas to the south are zoned residential. You have 3 adjacent parcels. There's 2 dwellings here zoned R1 residential. And then you have the Squaw Valley subdivision to the southeast as well. Here are some site photos. This is looking north from 190th at the taproom. Looking west at 190th, this is the winery property. Looking east at 190th, this is looking at the prairie. They were doing some work on the septic system the day I came out to take the site photos. So that's what that is in the background. This is the brewery and the patio. This is the shared parking area, and here again is a building associated with a winery in that area that's zoned A2 already. This is the existing tap room. This is the existing brewery equipment that's going to be moved to this building, which is the accessory structure to the north. And this is looking northeast at the Lakeland Acres property in Prairie. And so we have 3 standards of approval for the rezoning that are applicable. The first is that it conforms with the Story County C2C plan, and the development plan in this case is the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. So principles for the Ames Urban Fringe Plan include recognizing that agricultural land is a natural resource and will continue to be the predominant land use of areas given the agriculture and farm service designation. Recognize that industrial and commercial land uses are dependent on proximity to local agricultural land uses are essential to the continued feasibility of farming. Strategically locate these uses and allow the clustering of agricultural-related development at a limited scale. So related to these principles, a few notes. The A2 Agribusiness District allows both crop and livestock production The applicant intends to maintain the agricultural and conservation uses on the site, which make up the majority of the site. The applicant's goal is to maintain limited distribution, and we do have another agribusiness zone property just to the west. On the Ames Urban Fringe Plan Joint and Cooperative Agreement that references rezonings to the A2 district outside of industrial designations should be conditional. We have prepared a conditional rezoning agreement. The applicant has agreed to its terms, and that includes allowing all uses in the A2 district except the following, which are your more industrial uses: anhydrous ammonia storage, fertilizer and agricultural chemical sales, grain elevators, liquid propane storage tanks. And then we've also limited the storage, retail, or wholesale marketing or processing of agricultural products into value-added agricultural products, saying that that is permissible only if the uses are incidental to an agritourism use or agricultural production that is occurring on site. The second standard of approval is that the proposed rezoning shall conform to the statement of intent for the proposed district. The statement of intent is that the A2 district is intended to be designed and provided for activities strongly interrelated with agricultural uses. It is intended that, to the degree that possible, all A2 districts shall be entirely surrounded by the A1 district. Again, the applicant intends to maintain the agricultural and conservation uses on the site. The brewery was initially established as an accessory use to the farm and crop production to make that use viable after the farm store didn't prove feasible. Future investments in agriculture are required as the conditions of the recent conditional use permit, including growing hops and berries on site for use as adjuncts in the beer. The distribution will be limited, and the parcel is surrounded on all sides by the A1 district, with the exception of those three parcels to the south. There is screening to those parcels to the south provided already, and the majority of the southern property line is bordered by a large agricultural parcel. And third, the proposed rezoning shall be compatible with surrounding land uses and development patterns. Again, we have a nearby A2 zone district property where the Moot Winery is located. There are three residential properties to the south, and there is the Squaw Valley subdivision in the area as well. When the modification to the conditional use permit for the brewery's expansion was being processed, we did receive 10 letters of support from folks that lived in the Squaw Valley subdivision. We received no letters in opposition. The distribution use was occurring at the time, and it's the currently occurring use. No real changes are proposed in that distribution use. And I've also been noting that the A2 agribusiness district, you know, is more consistent with activities that are currently occurring on the site than the A1 district, and that have been occurring. But given the residential character of the surrounding area, again, that conditional rezoning agreement will ensure compatibility by limiting more industrial uses and the scale of industrial uses that are potential in the A2 agribusiness district. We sent letters to property owners within a quarter mile, also published notice in the Ames Tribune, Nevada Journal, and Story County Sun, and also put a sign on the property and have received no comments. We also routed the proposals to the City of Ames and the City of Gilbert, and the City of Ames just noted the need for a conditional rezoning agreement as per the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. And so our recommendation is, again, approval with conditions to limit more industrial uses and the intensity of the uses permitted in the A2 zoning district. And so that is alternative two. Do you have any questions for me?
I have a question. I can go last, or this is
Brian.
Can you? This is a process question, I guess. Can you explain the conditional zoning permit? So you got that, and then there's a conditional use permit, which are two different things, right?
Yep. So what we're considering tonight is a rezoning.
Mm-hmm.
So the use on-site of that tack room is permitted through a conditional use permit for agritourism, where you're bringing folks onto the site. That permit is still required in the A2 agribusiness district. It's simply that the distribution use that's also occurring cannot be permitted through that conditional use permit. So they need to rezone the property in order to have the distribution permitted.
Does that make more sense? That's kind of what I thought. I just wanted to make sure that I was following.
You're suggesting that rezoning that would allow all of the long list of uses in the A2 district would not be appropriate, so we're going to further condition it down to a shorter list of potential uses for the property.
Which the applicant is in agreement to.
Because the zoning applies to not just the little itty-bitty part of this.
The 40 acres.
It's 40 acres that would all be A2 in the future.
And once it's A2, it's A2. And you want to put the proximity to residential. I get it.
Can you put a site plan up for aerial?
Sure.
The 40 acres does not extend all the way over to GW Carver, correct? There's no property.
There's a couple, maybe two more quarter quarters, maybe two more 40 acre parcels.
Right. So my question is, approving the rezoning makes the use possible, but would they still have to get a submit a site plan for administrative approval to the staff? Is a site plan required for an agribusiness agribusiness use?
For future uses, if they're going to expand the area where they're brewing the beer or, canning area, you need a site plan. But like the on-site tap room,
because all the buildings are already there.
Yeah, it's existing. We went through that when we reviewed the conditional use permit application.
If they wanted to quadruple the amount of space used for storage and distribution,
then you
have to get any site plan. Okay, do we have any traffic? Estimated traffic? No?
Yes. For this use or the actual current traffic count?
I guess it's for... Right? Because they've been doing distribution.
Right. So he distributes every other week. To the and there's 4 to 5 per account. But I think maybe we can ask him.
One shipment a week?
Every other week.
Pales in comparison to even one additional household.
Right.
Yeah. And then as a control on how far this could grow, the amount of distribution, because if you think of a... let's say, soft drink distributor. There's a lot of good-sized heavy trucks moving in and out all the time. But in the conditional rezoning agreement that you agreed to in principle with the applicant, it stipulates that it has to be connected to the production on site.
Right.
So that would be the one growth control.
With the agritourism use.
Yes. Incidental to the agritourism use.
Okay. So they can say, scrap all that niche stuff. Let's put a Budweiser distribution center, right?
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
Good question. Good point.
And we thought about, when we were looking at the text amendment, would a percentage limit on the amount you can distribute of the beer produced be appropriate? And that just seemed really hard to enforce.
Okay.
What happens if the property changes ownership? What happens to the conditional zoning permit?
Yes, yeah, so the zoning would stay with the land.
Yeah, so all of the...
And the conditions.
The conditions with this would apply to that specific property, but no other A2 property.
No. This would just be the conditions on this specific property. You have to go through a rezoning process to get rid of those conditions. Again.
Other questions for staff? Applicant, if you'd like to address the commission?
I'm Elliot Thompson, owner of Alluvial Brewing Company and the applicant for this. My address is 3211 Letty Street in Ames. And I just wanted to say, again, I agree with these conditions. I don't ever foresee doing any of these. We really want to focus on this. And in the staff report, there was some questions about how often we distribute, where it's stored, and those things. So I just wanted to touch on those quick. So, like she said, currently we go to these different accounts about once every other week. There's a few in Des Moines and a few in Ames. Right now I just use a cargo van to do it. You know, and as we expand, again, as she mentioned, we want it most all of the focus to be on our current tap room. The expansion of the brewery is to, you know, have more beers on tap, to offer beer to go from the tap room, but not to add accounts all across the state or anything. So we want to keep it about the same scale it is. And as far as, yeah, as when we were talking about how we determine, do we put a percentage on it or anything, estimated right now it's about 80 to 90% of our sales are in the tap room. The rest are just the accounts in Des Moines. And she asked any other future changes with the rezoning, such as canning and bottling. We are planning on adding a small manual canning piece of equipment just to sell in our tap room, so when customers come and visit the farm, they could leave with our product. We've kind of said from day one, we never want to have our product in any Hy-Vees or any liquor stores like that, so we're really staying away from that. So that's not our focus. My focus from the beginning has been on the farm. I was the one who did the farming before the brewery, and the brewery's allowed me to do these other projects on the farm, and that's my interest in this whole thing, so I want to stick true to that. So
any questions for that? All right, thank you. Is there anyone here who'd like to speak on this application? Okay. Commission, what is your move?
Do we need to discuss?
Discussion or motion?
I move that we that we recommend to this board of adjustment, recommend to the board of supervisors the approval using staff recommendation 2 with the associated restrictions.
Second.
We have a motion by Smith and a second by McBride to forward staff's recommendation on. Okay, roll call vote, please. Okay. Oh, sorry. The discussion on the motion. Thanks, Jerry. Discussion? All right. Now can we get a vote, please?
Cable.
Yes.
Steele.
Yes.
Merkin.
Yes.
McBride.
Yes.
Sherwood.
Yes.
Mins.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Motion carries. Thanks for coming in. Yeah, let's take a 5-minute recess. So we'll start up again at 10 and after. We are on to CUPD 4-18, that's temporary asphalt and concrete plants.
Okay. So this is, like you said, a temporary asphalt and concrete plant. It is located south of Highway 30 on a site that last year temporary construction and demolition landfill was permitted to be located on. The conditional use permit was again approved in summer of 2017. You might be familiar with this site as we're looking at photos of it. Mm-hmm. Since that use is still occurring on the site, grading has occurred in an approximately 8.5 acre area to elevate and gravel the site in preparation for these plants. There has also been a half acre sized pond created where material was extracted to elevate the area for the plants, and there is a topsoil berm as well. These areas are seeded. The western 22 acres of the site are woods. The owner of the site contracted with Manats to remove some of the trees in this area for agricultural purposes and to increase the tillable area on the site. The site is in agricultural use as well. So as required by a conditional use permit for asphalt and concrete plants, the plants have to be located on a parcel that is in an extraction use. In this case, there is a parcel to the east that has an extraction permit until 2036. It's not currently being extracted, but Hallett Materials and OMG Midwest do own it. And it is extracted sometimes if there's an equipment issue on the Ames South Pit, which is located just a little bit further to the east. So that is met in this case, the adjacency to an extraction use. This property is, again, just south of Highway 30 and the Gateway lighting installation in Ames. The proposed use is an asphalt plant and a concrete plant. The Iowa DOT has contracted with Manats on these projects. The asphalt plant will be for a project in Boone County, and it will be located on the property from May until August of 2018. The concrete plant will be for a project on Interstate 35 on the northbound lanes, so starting at 285th Street, 2.6 miles north. They will be doing lane reconstruction. You might have noticed that there is already a diversion in that area if you've driven up 35 recently. The concrete plant will also be used to provide concrete for the new interchange at I-35 and Highway 30. And the concrete plant will be used, we recently found out, as for a county project to pave 530th Grant Avenue south of the research park. That use will occur in the interim between the I-35 northbound lane reconstruction projects and the October use of the plant for the I-35-30 interchange project. The plant was going to sit on the site in that time, but now they'll be able to use it for this other project during that time for about 5 days, the applicant estimates. So the concrete plant will be located to the west of the existing stockpile. It's about 200 feet by 250 feet. It includes a silo, a mixer, aggregate load and hopper, conveyors, a control office and trailer, and other equipment. The tallest part of a plant is that silo, and it is 48 feet tall. And so the applicant has submitted a variance request that the Board of Adjustment will hear at the same time as this conditional use permit request. There are three material stockpiles that provide aggregate materials to the plant located on the site as well. And those will be no more than 20 feet in height. The asphalt plant will be located to the south of the concrete plant. It is approximately 222 feet by 175 feet and includes a variety of equipment, including a silo and a control house, two tanks for burner fuel, and a generator. The tallest part of that plant is 38 feet in height, so that meets our maximum height requirement of 40 feet in the A1 Agricultural District. Both plants will obtain aggregates from Hallett Materials just to the east, as well as Martin Marietta for gravel. There will also be other equipment, including loaders and dozers and graders and compactors on the site. You'll see an office trailer shown in the site plan will be required to be set back 50 feet from the property line. Parking for trucks is available adjacent to each plant site. There is also parking for the crew members shown on the site plan, and there are 9 spaces. The plant will operate during daylight hours, maybe 5 to 6 days a week, including Saturdays and weekdays. And they may use water for the plants, either from that pond or potentially the Skunk River, but permits are required from the Iowa DNR and DOT for those water uses. So both plants are portable. They're temporary uses, again. And so they are portable. They come with stormwater permits and air quality permits. And no additional screening is proposed for the site. Again, these are temporary uses. But we have communicated with the applicant that if more permanent uses are proposed in the future, screening will be required. The traffic in the area is mainly related to the extraction use. The Hallett Material to Ames South Pit, that's located just to the east. 560th actually dead ends, and so it's just, you'll see on the site plan, the traffic doesn't really go down into that area unless it's for the extraction use or industrial traffic. There are two commercial sites, a car lot and a former truck stop in the area too, but it really just is mainly that extraction use traffic. And so there's about 320 vehicle trips a day, The asphalt plant might generate up to 185 truckloads of material a day, and the concrete plant may generate up to 300 truckloads of material a day. But these, again, will be temporary, these increases, and they're necessary for the road projects in the area. This is a vicinity map. So you can see the site is here. Here's the Hallett Materials Pond, I-35, Highway 30. This is the zoning and surrounding land use map. So this is the site currently. You can see this is an older photo. This is the stockpile areas for the construction demolition landfill site here. This area is actually in the city of Ames. And so the applicant has applied for a new driveway to allow 2 points of access. So currently the driveway is off of Southeast 18th here. Another driveway permit with the city of Ames has been applied for to allow traffic traveling south or north on South Staten Avenue to access the site as well. But you can see that mainly aside from this extraction use, adjacent to the east is large agricultural parcels, and this is the Skunk River. The area is designated as a natural area in the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. Again, the site is here because it's located in the floodplain. It is also in the gateway protection area of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, which we'll talk about. Here's a floodplain map. So again, here's the parcel. A floodplain permit will be required for the development after approval of the conditional use permit. This area has had base elevation flood studies done. So all equipment will be required to be located 18 inches above the 1% annual chance of greater flood level. The floodplain permit will also be required to have an evacuation plan that accompanies it for the equipment, materials, fuel, that kind of thing. And that will be reviewed by our department, floodplain manager, and emergency management department as well. This is a site plan. So you can see these are the existing construction and demolition landfill stockpiles. Some of them will be crushed before the plants are located in the site. So here's the concrete plant. Here's the asphalt plant. I have a zoomed in version on the next slide. But this is the area that was extracted from to grade and fill in this area. And then this is the pond as well. This is a zoomed in version of the concrete and the asphalt plant. You can see the concrete plant is located here to the north of the asphalt plant. There's different parts of the plant labeled on the site plan. And it is set back 50 feet from property lines. Here are the three stockpiles associated with the concrete plant. Here, the asphalt plant, you can see there are the two fuel tanks here. This is looking south, west from Southeast 18th Street. This is located at the entrance to the site, so you can kind of see the stockpiles here. And this is actually a pump station for the Ames wastewater treatment plant. So looking west at the gravel pad, you can see the tree line. There's the west as well. So looking south at the topsoil berm. This is looking north from the topsoil berm at the current stockpiles, and so the plant sites as well on the gravel area back here. This is on the gravel there, an elevated area, looking north at the stockpiles. This is looking northeast from the gravel pad, so you can see some of the commercial uses in the city of Ames located across Highway 30 here. This is looking north from the gravel pad at the Highway 30 and Dayton Avenue exit. This is looking southeast at the pond, so this is the pond here. It has a slope of 4-1, and the banks in that slope matches the slope of the stockpile, so it's a consistent line down drainage. And so our standards of approval, we have standards for compatibility, transition, traffic, parking and loading, signs and lighting, and environmental protection. We've concluded that these are met with recommended conditions. If you conclude that those standards are met, you must also approve the permit unless you also conclude that the development will not adequately safeguard health, safety, and general welfare, impair adequate supply of light and air, increased congestion in the roads, hazard from fire or flood, diminish or impair property values, or not be in accord with the purpose of our development plan. A few notes on these standards. Again, these are temporary uses and will be removed when the projects are completed. We're recommending that as a condition of approval. It's necessary to accommodate these uses to support the long-term growth and development of Storey County and Ames. This is related to the Ames Urban Fringe Plan goal and policy 4 for the rural and urban transition area, which is to permit interim development to occur in a manner that will support the long-term urbanization of the Ames Urban Fringe. Again, these are aiding an area road project near the city of Ames. The subject property is adjacent to an extraction site and is very near to that Highway 30 interchange project and the I-35 northbound lane reconstruction project, so that will help cut down on traffic. And a floodplain permit is required for the site, including a flood evacuation plan. These are comments from interagency review. We had a few comments, including that a site inspection will be required to check setbacks before operations occur. We also had comments on the floodplain permit and the evacuation plan that will be required. Emergency management also had comments on the evacuation plan and ensuring that appropriate timing was included for when a flood event was occurring and appropriate parameters for establishing the time frame at which you have to start monitoring for a flood and then start removing equipment. The engineer also commented that the DOT will be submitting a haul route agreement, and then the DOT and the contractor will be responsible for any damages to roadways. We mailed public notice within a quarter mile and sent the applications to Ames and Gilbert as well. Have received no comments. And so we recommend approval with conditions, including that a variance is obtained for the concrete silo height, which is 48 feet, which is above the 40-foot requirement, that the conditional use permit expires on December 31st, 2018, and the plans are removed, that the gravel pad can be allowed to remain on the site for up to 1 year following expiration of the permit, unless other applications using the pad have been approved. That the approved haul route agreements are submitted, that a driveway permit is obtained from Ames if a new drive is added, that a floodplain permit and evacuation plan is submitted, that appropriate water use permits are obtained, that the office trailer shown on the site plan is set back 50 feet, that the site shall be watered, as well as the roadway to prevent excess dust as needed. Both roads are paved, but the site is gravel. And that we complete an inspection before operations begin. And so that is alternative 2, recommending approval with conditions. Do you have any questions for me?
The two conditional use permits will operate on top of each other?
Yes. The conditional use permit for the extraction, the construction demolition landfill expires in November, I believe.
Okay.
And so they're going to be doing some crushing of the materials before they bring in the stockpiles, or the plants as well. Gotcha. But, yes.
But there's no stipulation that this one has to end before this one. Other questions? I assume you're the applicant. Would you like to address the Planning Commission? Give us your name and business address for the record.
My name is Craig Kleine with Manat. Our address is 1775 Old Six Road in Brooklyn, Iowa. The only thing really that I would have to say is you asked about the two plants. We'll come in the spring to crush the material that's there so that that can be used on these interstate projects, and then we'll pave, and there will be more removals from the interstate project that will come in the yard that will get crushed in the fall after the paving is finished. So that'll be how those will stack on top of each other.
Any questions about the applicant?
hurry and get it done.
Hurry and get it done.
Hurry isn't very nice to us.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. No one appears to be here, but if anyone would like to address the commissioner on this issue, now is the time.
I object.
Have to do that in case someone's standing out in the hall just waiting to talk. So.
It looks good in the minutes.
That's right. That's right. All right, on to motions or discussion from the planning commission.
I would move to approve the conditional use permit 04-18 with staff recommendation number 2.
Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion by Gable and a second by Mans. Is there any discussion on the motion? Roll call, please.
Gable.
Yes.
Merkin.
Yes.
Steele.
Yes.
McBride.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Mins.
Yes.
Sherwood.
Yes.
Great. Motion carries. On to the Board of Adjustment for that one. Now we are on to CUP 0518 PCI Borrow Pit.
Okay. So this is a borrow pit related to the same I-35 northbound lane project, the reconstruction project, and is in a similar area as well. So this time we are off of 560th Avenue, so to the southeast, south of Highway 30. This site you might be familiar with because a conditional use permit was issued in 2017 for a temporary asphalt plant on the site. That asphalt plant was related to repaving I-35 southbound. So there's a trend. The asphalt plant has since been removed. That conditional use permit expired last year. There is a gravel pad that remains on site and is permitted to do so until November 2018 if no other conditional use permits are issued to use that pad. And there are existing topsoil berms on the site that do provide some screening of the parking area that's being proposed and that are left over from that asphalt plant use. So this use is a borrow pit. It will extract fill material to raise the profile and flatten the slope of the area in between the shoulders and the ditches on I-35. So it's part of that reconstruction of the I-35 northbound lanes, so it'll help improve the safety of the corridor by adding some fill. And the borrow pit will be approximately 5 acres and 12 to 15 feet in depth. They'll be extracting 75,000 cubic yards of fill. And they will complete this use by November of 2018, at which point they will restore the borrow pit to a private fishing pond. Once a section of borrowing is complete, they will finish grade that area and plant it and put the topsoil back on it. So topsoil from the borrow will be stockpiled on the east side of the borrow pit to provide screening to the borrow pit as well. They will also have a berm for safety around the entire borrow pit. They will have also contracted for an NPDES permit relating to their grading work with a firm in Ames. And they've also complied with several related requirements for extraction uses. We have supplemental standards for extraction uses, including that borings are provided, that an archaeological assessment of the site is completed. There are slope requirements for the banks that they've submitted a profile of the borrow pit to show that they meet, and that they have submitted a bond. And those are recommended of conditions of approval if they haven't already submitted those. There will be 3 people working on the site during the day, potentially 6 days a week. The site plan shows a parking area that will accommodate both employee parking and parking of the equipment and vehicles. The equipment stored on site includes a job trailer for tool and food storage. There will be portable toilets, and there will be other equipment related to the extraction use. There will be fuel stored on site that will have to meet OSHA standards, as well as any requirements related to their floodplain permit and evacuating that fuel in case of flood. At any given time, there will be 10 to 12 trucks on the road with fill for the project. They have submitted proposed haul routes to the DOT. Those would be routed on Highway 30 to 580th Avenue South, and then from 580th Avenue, they would head to 260th Street, where an access point to I-35 would be located. Given that there are 75,000 cubic yards of material needed, and each truck has a capacity of 13 yards, this could be approximately 5,770 truck trips. those truck trips would occur, though, over an approximately 6-month-long period. I didn't factor out the daily truck traffic map, but it will be an increase. But the 560th Avenue average daily vehicle traffic count is 20 vehicles because it does dead end south of this site. There's no residential areas to the south. They would take Southeast 18th and South Dayton past that extraction use to get to Highway 30, which has a much higher vehicle traffic count because of the extraction use that's already there. The trucks will enter the site from an existing driveway that's already been improved for truck traffic. And they have a water truck on site for dust control. So this is the vicinity map. You can see just to the south of how materials aimed south is. This is a project map. So you can see the project starts here. This is 280th. And it extends north 2.6 miles to approximately 260th. So that is where trucks would be routed from the site here up to Highway 30, down 580th, and over to 260th to access the site. Oh, sorry. Do you want to look at that? I felt like I changed the slide too soon.
No. That's okay. An interesting map. That's
yeah. So this is an up-close view of the site. Again, we're on 560th. Here's the existing extraction use, Highway 30, Highway 35. Closest dwelling is actually across Interstate 35. And so all the adjacent parcels are in agricultural or extraction uses. Again, we are in the natural area, Ames Urban Fringe Plan designation, because of the floodplain with the South Skunk River. A floodplain permit will be required, including an evacuation plan, after approval of the conditional use permit. This is a site plan. So you can see this is the existing gravel pad that was left over from the asphalt plant that was located on the site last summer. There are some material stockpiles from that there as well. Those are required to be removed by November. No other uses are on the site using the pad. So the job trailer would be located on the pad, the employee parking, and the portable toilet. There is a topsoil stockpile proposed to be located east here from the borrow pit. And there will be that berm around the borrow pit. And there's existing topsoil berm from the asphalt plant located here, to the south of the parking area. So this is looking south from 560th. Looking east from 560th, you can see the existing topsoil stockpile berm. And that's the area that is currently in agricultural production. This is looking north at the former asphalt plant site. This is looking west across 560th. You can kind of see the wooded area by the South Skunk River. This is from spring 2017, so it's much greener and warmer. So this is looking north from the southern end of the property. Since the asphalt plant was located here, but you can get a feel for there isn't a tree line in between OMG West extraction use and this property. So this is just looking northeast. You can see this is 560th here. Again, staff has concluded that standards of approval are met with the recommended conditions. If you conclude that all the standards of approval are met, you shall approve the application and plans unless you conclude that the application will not adequately safeguard health, safety, and welfare, impair adequate supply of light and air, congest roads, hurt property values, or not be in accord with our development plan. And so we have come to the following findings. The proposed borrow pit is temporary, and so are any impacts. The use is necessary to accommodate long-term growth, which is consistent with Policy 4 and the Ames Urban Fringe Plan to permit interim development to support long-term urbanization. There are topsoil berms located in the site, and there is a berm proposed around the parking, around the borrow pit. Interstate 35 is located approximately 0.2 miles to the east of the site, and so that berm will provide screening to the borrow. The subject property is adjacent to an extraction use, and it is also approximately 1 mile or so as the crow flies from that site where they will be using the fill to reconstruct I-35 northbound. They will be submitting an NPDES permit, an archaeological assessment, and a floodplain permit, and they will restore the site as a private pond when finished, and will submit a restoration bond to do so as well. We routed this for interagency review. I had comments on the floodplain permit that was needed in the evacuation plan. Again, the engineer commented that a haul route agreement would be approved and submitted by the DOT, and they would be responsible for any damages to the roadway. 560th is gravel. We sent public notice within a quarter mile and received no comments, and also received no comments from the cities within the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. And so our recommendation is with the following conditions, that the conditional use permit expires on December 31st, 2018, that haul routes are submitted, that an archaeological assessment and NPDES permit are submitted, that a bond for the cost of the restoration work is submitted, that a floodplain permit is obtained, and that the applicant waters the site and roadway to prevent excess dust if needed. So that is alternative two, approval with conditions. Any questions?
Could you go back to the truck route?
Mm-hmm. I didn't include the truck route map, but I can show you the project map. So the trucks would be routed from 560th, which is over here, up to Highway 30, down on 580th, over to 260th to access Interstate 35. That will need to be approved by the Iowa DOT.
Is 580th, is that Sand Hill Trail?
Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I need a better description. One more mile.
That's a hard surface road that we call Cave Ridge Road.
There's a bridge that's embargoed on Sand Hill Road.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I meant.
So you go over to the Cave Road and go south.
Right.
Yes.
And then back across on the road that crosses the interstate with the new bridge. Yes. Okay.
Thanks.
Amelia, you said that the use is temporary. I think we all understand this, but just to be clear, the extraction is temporary, but the result is a permanent pond that will be restored as such. So it's not going to be just left up.
It's required to be restored with certain slopes and finished grades.
But won't return to the way it was before?
No, it won't be. And part of the siting of this was finding a property owner interested in having a fishing pond at the end.
Who is it?
Who knew?
Any other questions for staff? Applicant, if you'd like to address the commission, or just make yourself available for questions.
Yeah, I'm Jeff Tice, Peterson Contractors, 104 Blackhawk Street in Rhinebeck. I don't have much to add. Amelia's very thorough and good at her job, but any questions you might have?
Any questions at all? Anyone covered by Amelia? All right, we have some action, Commission.
I move that we go with staff's recommendation for the borrow pit. I'm not sure what else there is.
That recommendation, too.
Oh, and with recommendation two.
With that, sir.
With that,
okay. Is there a second?
Second. I kind of swore in that, sorry. You caught me off guard.
Great. We have a motion to Sherwood and a second by Merkin. Is there any discussion on the motion? Roll call vote, please.
Smith.
Yes.
Cable.
Yes.
McBride.
Yes.
Sherwood.
Yes.
Steele.
Yes.
Mins.
Yes.
Merkin.
Yes.
All right. On to the Board of Adjustments. That one as well. Now I seem to get adjourned it before comments. A new switch up?
Yeah. I guess I didn't catch that.
Let's do comments before we
so go. Would that limit the comments?
Well, I thought maybe there was a legal technical reason to do it that way. No. Okay. So let's do staff comments. Or yeah, any comments from staff in general?
Nope, I don't think
this
so.
This is your chance. Cherry's gone.
Oh.
All right. Any comments from the commission?
I have a comment about this projector.
There's money in the budget for the next fiscal year to replace the projector and the screen.
Yes. So in July or August or something.
Yes, we are well aware of the issue.
Yeah. It's really, really hard to see.
It's very common with older projectors with the color inconsistencies because there's a limited number of colors that they can represent.
Oh, really?
Compared to the number of colors that your computer can.
Yeah.
And therefore, it interprets
the lighting.
Very interesting.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, you guys have a good night.
That's good news. We will have separation between yellow and green.
Yes.
All right. Any other commission comments?
I went to the meeting on Monday night in Anthony.
The training?
Yeah.
And?
It was good. I found out that B is for plane and B is for log.
Yeah, that's great.
That's right.
He's fairly entertaining.
Yeah. And get very
and there's food, too.
So. It was good.
Okay.
It was good.
Well, good. You would recommend it to others?
Yeah.
I would.
I took it a few years ago.
Yeah. There was some guy there that's been there 37 times. 37 years. He's from Huxley.
He goes for the year. Food.
Get his badge.
Okay, do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Merkin. Second by McBride. We stand adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.